Thank you for listening to the Bible Expositors Podcast with your host, Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
And we will do all of chapter 13 tonight of Genesis. The title of the message tonight is Separation, a Step of Faith, Genesis chapter 13. This morning, if you'll remember, we talked about Abraham going into Egypt when there was a famine, and he lied in order to protect himself, really, because he was afraid he would get killed and Pharaoh would take his wife because she was so pretty. His lie was unnecessary and it brought a bad testimony, but God used him in spite of the fact that he had flaws. So we talked about that this morning, and he suffered consequences, but God used him even though he had flaws. And tonight, we're going to look at another flaw that Abraham had, and that was that God had commanded him to do something, and it took him a long time to fully obey God. And God actually brought him to a place to where he fully obeyed. So we're going to look at that tonight. And the title is Separation, a Step of Faith. So we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be in your house tonight. I do pray now that you'd forgive me for my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit tonight as I preach. And these that are saved as they hear, we pray if anyone here is not saved, that you would convict them and save them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, the last Sunday night of this month, does anybody remember what it is? It's the gospel service. That's right. And I had a particular guy in mind to preach, and I was thinking about getting in contact with him, and it's a little, late, but I thought, this guy would be good. Well, when I took the kids to get pizza today, I walked into Little Caesars, and who should be there but this guy that I had been thinking about getting to preach. So I said, "Hey, how you doing?" He said, "I'm fine." I said, "Would you like to preach the last Sunday night of this month?" And he said, "Well, I'm really busy. I've been pastoring one church that has no pastor and preaching for another pastor that's sick." But he said, "But I do have Sunday night open." And he said, "I'll be happy to preach." And so he's booked to preach for us. So praise the Lord for that. That was perfect will of God. So we're excited about hearing from Brother Raymond English. He is an old-fashioned evangelistic preacher, and so we're excited about that. So, separation, a step of faith. Did we pray yet? I don't remember. We did pray. Okay, great. So, well, I'll be happy to pray again. I mean, Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. The word of God says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Now I read this verse by way of introduction, going back to chapter 12 to remind you of God's command. What did God commanded Abraham to do? He said, "Get thee out of thy country." Well, Abraham had done that. It took him a while, but he did it. And from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Well, he'd left his father's house, he'd left his country, but he had not left behind his kindred. Because as we see in our study, as we look at Abram, the Bible says in Genesis 13:1, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot went with him into the south." So Lot was Abraham's brother's son. His brother had died and left Lot. So Lot was his nephew, but Lot was like a son to Abraham. And Abraham was supposed to part ways with Lot, but he didn't. And it's understandable why he didn't. It's because Lot was like a son to him, and it'd be hard to leave your son. And so he did not fully obey God in doing that. It's interesting that years later, when we look at Abraham, that when God told Abraham to sacrifice his actual son, Isaac, that Abraham had no trouble taking him up the mountain and acting in faith there. So you see how much his faith grew. But at this point, Lot was still with him. and they head into the south. And the Bible says Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And I imagine he got a little richer while he was in Egypt with that scheme he ran on Pharaoh when Pharaoh paid him for his wife. The Bible doesn't say that he gave any of that stuff back. So he probably kept it. He already had a lot, but he got a little richer, more than likely. And say what? Well, but I was going to say it works the opposite with me.
You better watch it.
Well, yes, that's right. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 3, and he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai. So he goes to the place he'd been in the beginning, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. So Abram had gotten out of God's will in Egypt by lying. And now he comes back to Bethel, which means the house of God, and back to the altar. So he comes back to God. That's always a good thing to do after we get out of God's will. If you sin, you do something wrong, it's a good thing to get back to the house of God, to get back to the altar, and to come back to God. It's a good thing to do what you used to do before you got out of the will of God. And that's exactly what Abram did in this case. And so Abraham, even though he was a flawed man, he was a man of faith, he was a good man and a worshiper of God, and he came back to God. He repented when he had done wrong. And that is a characteristic that all believers have, is that they repent and they come back to God. Now, the second character that we see in this study of chapter 13 is Lot. Lot. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So Lot was also rich. He had a bunch of stuff too. Back then, people didn't have trucks and houses and stuff. They had tents and flocks and herds. That's what they had. And so he was also a man of wealth. But between these two men, there was conflict. There was conflict. Genesis 13 and verse 6, and the land was not able to bear them, and that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. So they had so much stuff that the land where they were couldn't handle both of them, and they got in arguments. They started, their people started arguing. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. So there was strife between them. Abram's cattle were encroaching upon the grazing land of Lot's cattle. Lot's cattle were encroaching upon the grazing land of Abram's cattle. So they got in fights and arguments. And so there needed to be a solution to the problem. And that leads us to point four. The solution was separation. Separation. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. And so Abram is obviously the more spiritual man here. Abram says, we're brothers, we're family. Let's not have strife between us. And he presents a solution. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. If thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And so Abraham, being a man of integrity, even says to Lot, look, you take whatever you want. The land's before us. You take whatever you want. Let's separate, and you go take what you want, and I'll take whatever's left over. And the Bible says, "And Lot lift up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar." So this was a land like the Garden of Eden. It was a beautiful land, well watered, before God rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. But it was a nice place at the time. And Lot chose the best. And you see what kind of a person Lot was. I mean, we know later on what kind of a person he was, how he compromised. But Lot chose the best. He should have offered the best to Abraham. But Abraham said, "You take what you want," so he just chose the best. And the Bible says in verse 11, "Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom." But the Bible tells us in verse 13, "But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." And so Lot pitched his tent towards a wicked place. And Gill says, which either he knew not, and so ignorantly made this bad choice to take up his abode among such very wicked men, which occasioned a great deal of grief, trouble, and vexation to him. Or if he knew it, the pleasing prospect of convenience for his cattle and of enriching himself was a temptation to him and prevailed upon him to take such a step. So he either didn't know it, or he knew it. And if he knew it, which I suspect that he probably did know it, then when he looked at it and said, "Hey, even though these people are wicked, this is a great place for my cattle. It's a great place to make money. It'll be a good place to go." And of course, in doing that, he sacrificed his family. The Life Application Study Bible says, "Good pasture and available water seemed like a wise choice to Lot at first, but he failed to recognize that wicked Sodom could provide temptations strong enough to destroy his family." And indeed, his wife was killed as a result of the situation, and there was a bunch of other wicked stuff that went on, and his family was hurt severely because of his choice to move to Sodom, because it was a place where he could make more money. And that's probably not a temptation to you, because you all are retired, most of you. But and Johnny works for the government, so that's not a temptation for him. But nonetheless, anyone that may be listening to this on sermon audio when they get the site fixed and I can upload audio again, I will just caution us, and I'll caution myself, that it's always a mistake to get out of the will of God in order to make an extra few dollars, because it can have lasting consequences that will damage your family for years to come. And so, better to stay in the will of God. Now, the fifth thing we see is that there was blessing after separation. Blessing after separation. Verse 14, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." You see what a better deal Abraham got. Lot chose the well-watered plains of Sodom, and he lost his family as a result. On the other hand, Abraham chose to follow God, and God said, "Look, north, south, east, and west, and everything you see, I'm going to give it to you and your seed forever." Much better deal. And because he acted in faith, God took care of him. Now, Abraham never actually owned anything in the promised land except a burying place for his wife. But this promise is a much farther reaching promise than Abraham and his descendants. It physically is a promise to the Jews, but spiritually it is a promise to Abraham's seed. And Abraham's seed is Jesus Christ. And all of us who are in Christ inherit the spiritual blessings promised to Abraham. And the promised land specifically is to Abraham's physical as well as spiritual descendants, the Jews. The physical, what I'm saying is the physical promises are still specifically to the Jews, not to the church as a whole. We don't believe the promised land was promised to the church. It's promised to the Jews. Now, we also have to remember that the Bible says they are not all Israel that are of Israel. And so not everyone that's physically descended from Abraham is the true Israel. There are Jews in the promised land right now, but they don't have all the promised land, and most of them don't believe in Jesus Christ. And specifically, God's true Israel are Jews who believe in Jesus Christ and are saved. And Romans talks about that. But this promise, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And so this was a promise given to Abraham, much greater than what Lot got. And verse 16, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. And then in verse 17, God says, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. So you see that separation brought a blessing. God blesses separation. When Abraham fully obeyed God and he separated from Lot, and it was kind of a forced thing. God put him in a place when he came out of Egypt to where they started bickering and fighting and they had to separate. But when Abraham fully obeyed God by separating from Lot, then God showed him the great extent of his blessing. He said, walk around this promised land. Look to the north, south, east, and west. I'm going to give this all to you and your seed. And God showed him the blessings he would receive. And he told him that his seeds would be, we can go back to verse 16, and I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. In other words, God said, I'm going to give you an innumerable, I'm going to multiply your seed so much that you can't number it. And that is true of the Jews themselves, but this is a bigger promise. This encompasses the promises made of Abraham's ultimate seed, Christ. In the book of Galatians, the Bible says, he says not unto seeds as of many, but as unto one seed, which is Christ. And so ultimately these promises are fulfilled in Christ. And so there are spiritual blessings that come to all that believe in Christ. And God has greatly multiplied the seed of Abraham. So God blesses separation. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says this, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So God has a great promise for us when we separate. Of course, the church at Corinth, as we've studied here in the past, was in the middle of an idolatrous city, and a city that often had banquets in idols' temples, and a city that had a lot of immorality. And God said, okay, for some reason.
I don't know what you mean by, I am a city that had a lot of immorality, and God said, how about a web search for it?
Never mind, Siri. Thanks a lot for coming up. Anyway, Siri was trying to help out there, but she doesn't know what I mean by that. And but what I mean is that the city of Corinth was an immoral city. And so God said to his people in the city of Corinth, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And so God wants Christians, he wants believers to separate from immorality, both spiritual and physical immorality. This does not mean that we don't need to reach people for Christ and minister to people, but God wants us to separate from immorality. God does not want believers taking part in... In fact, if we were to read the whole passage, it says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath light with darkness? And, you know, there's a separation that takes place. If a room is dark, when you turn on the lights, the darkness is gone. There's separation that takes place. Light and darkness have no fellowship. And so believers should not enter into spiritual fellowship with unbelievers. It's just not something we do. That's why we don't get together and work with unbelievers in evangelistic efforts. We're not going to go and work with the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Roman Catholic Church in an effort to reach people for Christ, because we believe different things. We believe in salvation by grace through faith. They all believe in salvation by works. And at least two of those groups are errant on their belief on the Trinity. And so we will not yoke together with unbelievers to accomplish spiritual goals. Believers should not marry unbelievers. It's a mistake. You should marry people that are saved. It will lead to lots of heartache, and even unsaved people. Unsaved counselors know that. There used to be a lady on the radio years ago named Dr. Laura. I don't know if you remember her. She was a Jew, I think. And she would have people call up on her show and say, I'm a Jew and my fiance is a Catholic. And she would say, don't marry him. It's a mistake. You all won't get along. You'll have all kinds of problems. And so... unequal yokes. And so there needs to be spiritual separation. And there needs to be separation physically from the works of darkness as well. Well, believers don't need to engage in immorality and immoral things. And I think we all understand that, but we just need to practice it. And so God blesses separation. Abraham never had the full extent of God's blessing until he separated from Lot, and we cannot experience the full extent of God's blessing until we as Christians practice biblical separation. And that is the message this evening. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people. I thank you for the work you're doing in this place. I do pray that we will come out from among them and be ye separate, that we will cleanse ourselves of filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, that we will obey your word and separate as you would have us to, and be holy unto you. And we do pray, if there's anyone here that is not saved, that doesn't even understand what we're talking about, because they don't even know you as Savior, I pray that tonight they would believe the simple message of the gospel, that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, and that they would put their faith in Jesus Christ and be born again and saved by the grace of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.